There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Phone number and the text line. Most of you know it by now, but hey, there's new people all the time. It shows out there. New people joining our ranks. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 343-0106. You may want to put that in your contacts. It gets you through on a call or a text. 251-343-0106 with the FM Talk 106.5 app. You can also leave us one of those talk back messages. We'll talk more about that coming up later on in the show. Also in hour number two, as we continue looking at the municipal cycle and the politics here and the election day coming up in August, Josh Brown, running for mayor of Bay Minette, is going to join us in hour number two. And speaking of mayoral cycles, remember the 14th of August. We're out at the Business Expo at the Mobile Convention Center. So usually I go down there and do my show from there. I will, but we're going to be doing a mayoral event. We have the four candidates for the city of Mobile. All have agreed. They're all going to be there. And so from noon to 2 on the 14th, you can come see it in person, listen to it on the radio. We may stream it as well. But that'll be darn close to Election Day. We've got all four right there. So, I talked to Rob Holbert last week about it. I think a lot of people are still undecided. So this is a chance you might be able to get decided. Put that on the calendar to do noon to 2 on the 14th of August. All right. And of course, yes, I mean, where a kid can be a kid, we will talk about the Chuck E. Cheese ruckus. But first, without further ado, and there's been a lot of ado, it's the man that you should have a lot to say about. And it's our friend Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal, and a man just back from hanging out at the Marriott in Birmingham or wherever you were. Where were you?
It was the Sheraton.
The Sheraton. Okay, well, there's Sheraton.
BJCC.
Who has like, did they have the breakfast in the morning? Could you get the free breakfast?
No, as a matter of fact.
That's a ripoff. Ripoff.
I think they probably had it, but we were pretty busy in the mornings, and so I was eating cheese straws out of the gift bag.
Good. See, this is real world stuff, man. A couple things, like, and a lot to talk about in the email from you yesterday and today. I kind of put a theme on these two is Alabama's losing money, right? This is the questions about reduction in money for the state. First of all, you write today, great concern. Alabama Food Bank worries that SNAP cuts could deepen food insecurity. What's up with that?
Yeah, they're specifically worried about food banks and what a lowering of SNAP benefits, might cause previous users of SNAP, which is basically food stamps. That's a, supplemental nutrition assistance program. If there are fewer people eligible for that, then perhaps they will go to food banks, and do we have enough stores in our food banks across the state to keep up with that demand? That's essentially what they're arguing and so or wondering about and trying to figure out, which is important. But the other side of that is what DHR said late last week, and that is that what they're going to need from the state in order to just kind of basically administer that program, and because they, according to them, according to Alabama's Department of Human Resources, Alabama would need to supplement that program by as much as $265 million, from the legislature. The legislature doesn't have $265 million just laying around, especially not in the general fund. So there's a lot of kind of factors here. One is that this error rate, you know, that the rate at which the state, you know, is audited to say, well, how many benefits did you hand out in error under that big one big beautiful bill? States have to get it below 6%. That's pretty low. And ours is not there yet. Ours is more like in the 10% bracket. And so if we don't get that corrected, then, yeah, the state would be on the hook for anywhere from $177 million to $265 million to fund that program, unless you just cut it all.
Yeah, how hard is it, Todd, to – I'm just not just asking this rhetorically. I mean, but how hard is it to get that number to 5% or lower? I mean, to say that, you know, we're going to spend all this money if we can't get the fraud below 5%, I mean, can't we crack down on that? I mean, is it this impossible task?
You know, I don't know what specifically goes into it, and what Nancy Buckner, she's the commissioner of DHR, said that, yeah, there are some things that the state can do. I would imagine they were trying to do that before anyway, but that was the intent of Congress, to say we've got to get, you know, you cannot be just handing benefits out to those who aren't eligible. We're going to cut you if you don't get your error rate below 6%,
and that seems,
perhaps that motivates you.
Yeah, exactly. And people say, well, that's heartless or whatever, but saying, hey, state, get the fraud below 5%, the fraud, not the people who are supposed to, but the fraud, then I don't know how that is a bad thing to get, you know, people are getting benefits who shouldn't. And if we can identify the state is at 10 or 11%, if you can identify the percentage of ineligible recipients or fraud or whatever we're going to call it, if you can count them up, can't you stop them from getting it if you know how many, what percentage are doing it wrong?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't work in DHR. I don't work in STEP. I have no idea what goes into that. But clearly Congress's intent is exactly what you say, is that is to give an incentive. Give a, you know, some incentives are carrots, some are sticks. This is a little bit of both in that, you know, we're gonna force you to cut a pretty big financial penalty if you don't cut down on that error rate. And
pretty solid, you know, motivator, in my opinion. I mean, that, you know, that could get you motivated.
Well, especially if you look at the legislature, I mean, what are they going to say to that? What is the legislature going to say to a budget request that comes in? And it probably wouldn't happen until next year, but let's just, you know, even if it was 2027, what would they say to a, you know, hey, we need an extra $180 million to run SNAP?
I'd tell DHR, get your butts in gear and get this down below 6%.
Right. I mean, well, of course. And so if that happens, then you really are impacting more. It's not like, well, okay, we're going to cut you and just cut out all the fraud. Well, no, a lot of other people get caught in that too. And so that's the rub. If you don't get it below that, you know, that $180 million or whatever it is getting cut, if the state doesn't make up for it, it's going to impact a lot more people than just those committing fraud. But again, that's how state budgets work. That's how the federal government works. And that's what's, I think we have accurately described what is at play.
Yeah. And I think it should be a motivator too to people who are legitimately getting those benefits to narc on the people that shouldn't, because it could impact their ability to get the benefits, the ones that are legitimate.
I don't even know if that happens, but sure. you could start that.
Narc on them if they're getting the, if they're fraudulently getting the benefits. All right, we stick with the money theme here, Todd. Feds release frozen education funds nationwide, including $50 million for Alabama. This was something that you talked with Superintendent Mackey about.
Well, yeah, so this goes back, you know, there were, I guess 2 weeks ago, we've been just kind of continuously reporting on this, but the Department of Education froze about $68 million that was already appropriated, already actually going to schools in Alabama. It was more like $1 billion nationwide, because they said that it didn't comply with some of the president's priorities, and so that drew a lot of question marks. There weren't a lot of specifics attached to it, but it was for money that goes to fund things like after school and summer learning and things that are really important. And so just last Friday, well, they unfroze part of the money, I guess, a week ago. And then last Friday, we got word that they were releasing the rest of it, about $50 million. It's about almost $70 million in total. So, yeah, Dr. Mackey, the state superintendent, is elated. He's so excited this is happening because they weren't sure what they were going to do with school starting, like, right now. It's crazy that it starts so early. Because all this money is supposed to be used for things like that, summer learning, after school learning, you know, things like that that are helping, you know, get kids caught up. You know, all's well that ends well if the funding will not be cut.
It seems like, and well, I mean, $50 million is real money, but compare that to the ETF. You know, it's a percentage of it. I mean, the ETF is way bigger. I mean, $50 million doesn't seem to me a make or break. It seems like there should be money to do that anyway.
I mean, it's make or break if you're an individual school system that has put, you know, $2 or $3 million of that into their budget for, you know, after school programs and things. And suddenly you're told that, you know, budgeting year, you've been counting on that and you're not. So I think it's real money. That's why the state superintendent and the board were really concerned about this. And so the other part of that, you know, the other bucket of money that they're talking about this week is NIH, National Institutes of Health, and some of the money that's been appropriated.
Yeah, this is the rescission
cuts. Frozen.
Yeah.
No, this isn't rescission. This is, again, money that's being frozen. This is what Senator Britt is asking for them to unfreeze. So this is money that the rescission is a congressional thing, right? The president asked for certain money to be rescinded, and that's a rescission, and they passed that. That's what happened a couple weeks ago. This is different than that. This is an agency saying we're just not going to comply with the whatever spending appropriation that was made. We're freezing this money per our plans. And now that happened again on the NIH side. And so Senator Britt has asked the budget, Office of Budget Management, to release those funds that have been delayed. So it's kind of like, it's not just Senator Britt, it's Tommy Tuberville too, it's a lot of the delegation kind of playing whack-a-mole, because especially the appropriators, they appropriated all this money. They voted for all this money to be appropriated, and then the administration comes in and says, no, we're freezing it. And I've noticed Senator Britt is kind of clever about it. In her letter to the Office of Budget and Management, she said, you need to unfreeze this money because you're going against President Trump's agenda. He wants this money. So that's a pretty clever way of messaging it, you know, back to the administration.
People want to read more of that. Of course, that's on the website. People want to get that email in their inbox 6 days a week, y'all, even on a Sunday. How do they do it?
Oh, it's real easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Enter your name and your email right there, and you'll be on the list.
What about Capital Journal? We kind of blew it out there at the SLC.
Yes, I encourage people to watch. You know, the Southern Legislative Conference, it is a gathering of 15 Southern states each year. This year was Alabama's turn to host it, which is a big deal because you get to show off our state. We did it there in Birmingham, and they allowed Capital Journal to be there on location to cover a lot of the events, interview a lot of the state lawmakers from all over the South. That was a lot of fun. And the whole thing is an exchange of policy ideas. In fact, I talked to one state senator from Mississippi. You know, they've had a lot of progress in reading the Mississippi Miracle and everything, and Alabama has stolen a lot of that. We've copied a lot of that from Mississippi.
Good.
And now they're starting to copy our math efforts, because we've kind of led the way. Alabama has led the way on numeracy, you know, math learning. And so now they're copying us. That's exactly the kind of thing that states ought to do. Yeah, we compete and everything, but these southern states, they share so much in common, so many common issues and problems. And it was really interesting to see lawmakers kind of collaborating and seeing what works and what doesn't in different states. So I encourage folks to watch the episode there on YouTube.
Good stuff. Yeah. And I encourage our state, when another state is doing something better, please copy off their paper. Please.
Absolutely.
Todd Mann, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. There goes Todd Stacey. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1225 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on a Monday. Remember, you can give us a talkback message, too, using the FM Talk 106.5 app. You see that microphone icon on the front page. If you press that, it lets you record the message, and it emails it to the show. We can play it back here on the air. All right, let's see here. Go through some. Michael says, is Jeff Poor Show going to be the Birmingham News Show until Jeff gets back? I don't know. I think April Marie did a good job of trying to get some local stories as well. Michael says, the more I learned about Birmingham, I'm convinced that South Alabama would be far better off without having to financially support the northern portion of Alabama. Oh, well, Michael, I agreed. Remember the oil spill money? Remember how that all went down? Believe me, we backed them up then. It's almost bookends, Michael, because if they are they're getting after it in North Alabama as well. Tennessee River Valley up there, it's like the bookends, North and South, are doing, I think, better than the rest of the state, for sure. Let's see. Billy D., curious as what 6% fraud represents in terms of dollars. Good question. I don't know, Billy. We can look at that. But, you know, if you're the legislature and they say, hey, if you don't get this, if DHR doesn't get this fraud, which maybe I'm missing something, but if you can identify, if you can give me the percentage that says it's 10 to 11% fraud in there, or whatever term they want to use, then don't you have something to work off there? Don't you have a, if you can identify that much fraud, then don't you know the people that are doing it, and don't you just go after them? But if I'm the legislature and I'm like, hey, we're about to have to magically come up with this, what do we say, 180 million or something like that, then I would tell DHR, hey, you got one job. Well, you obviously not doing the job of keeping kids alive. You got a job to do. That's not fair. That one individual did not do that. There's another DHR story, though, we might get to later on in the show. But I'd say, listen, this is a top priority. We don't have the money. Y'all go find the fraud. If you can tell me the percentage of fraud going on, it seems like you should know who's doing it. Right, this from Daniel. They need to stop all these girls that are baby farms and their entire family taking care of the kids she has. Puts a lot of people like their grandparents and parents having to get SNAP because they can't afford to feed any more mouths. Yeah, and some of the, I mean, the requirements here, the proposed cuts on SNAP would do a couple things. I mean, it would tighten the eligibility requirements. And people say, they're kicking, you know, you picture, you know, families like without food. But one of the things, it would just raise the age for work requirements. So right now, after, I think, 54, which that means next year for me, you wouldn't have to work to be able to qualify for the SNAP. But now they're talking about raising it to 64. I think that's fair. Also, parents that have children older than six years old, so not babies in the house, to meet their requirements as well. And you know, there's some of these things that are, I think, common sense. Once again, and I think it should be incumbent on people who, you know, you believe that we need this. You know, I've often said I believe in a safety net. I just don't believe in it becoming a hammock. But I do believe, you know, we set this system up. Okay. Then because it's not the people administering its money, they're kind of like, yeah, you know, I'd rather err on the side of letting some fraud go on than I would denying somebody who should get the benefits. But if it was their own money, they'd make it down to the last nickel, right? And so if you can identify that there's X percentage of fraud going on, then go get after it. Get on the list of the people that gave you that 10% and get them off there so the people who are supposed to get it still get it. All right, we'll be right back. And yes, we'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese at some point, too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Talk 35, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. I have you here on this Monday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and I'm checking the calendar here. It's month end time. What does that mean for you?
Well, everybody always thinks you're going to get your best deal at the end of the month.
That's what Dad always told me, right?
Squeeze one in.
Yeah.
Well, your daddy was a lot smarter than me and you, so yeah, that is the deal. We're trying to finish up strong if we can. You know, we want to have a good month. We look back next year and say, well, how many did we do last month? And it always gives us a goal for next year. So I got the guys, gave them a little incentivized pay plan to hopefully stir up some initiative out of them. And if we can get some traffic in here, I promise you today through Thursday night be your best time to buy.
Okay. So you heard it from David. So you can go in and say, listen, I just heard it from David. And he goes, because his office is the first one in there on the right. So you can go, hey, David, I just heard you say this. So I'm ready to look at, pick the vehicle out there. Inventory's looking good,
David,
right?
David who?
Yeah. Hey, tell people if they want to come out and talk to you at the office or they want to check out vehicles online, how do they get in touch with you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We're literally 5 minutes from I-65 and I-10 Junction. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or just go to the website. We'd be on there with pictures. If we don't have enough, call us. We'll send you something else.
All right, good stuff, David. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Have a good day, Sean.
Yeah, you too. There goes David at LCM. And by the way, lcmmotorcars.com. That's the website to get his cellular. You know, once again, it's an amazing thing. We can get video stream from Mars, but, you know, from in Theodore, you can't get a cell phone connection out. All right, to the text line here. Matt, so wrapping up some stuff from earlier this hour, Matt said, hey, Sean, it is real money. Well, no doubt. We were talking about the $50 million on the education side. He said, but like you said, the Education Trust Fund is there for a reason, and our state should access it in emergencies like this. Otherwise, why have it set up in the first place? Yeah, Matt, I just can't believe they spend every – I need to go look before I step too far, but the ETF is growing and growing, right? So if y'all are new to the state, they walled off – the Education Trust Fund. So the money for schools is walled off from the general fund because there'll be two things I'm going to tell you here, and this is about us not trusting our legislature over time. So the school funding ETF is walled off from the general fund. It is a separate budget. The two shall never meet. But it's been robust in growth and has, you know, like our state, has earmarked money that goes into it. It seems like it should be able to handle, even though Matt and I are agreed, $50 million, y'all can go ahead and give me that. I'll take it. $50 million is real money, but compared to the rest of the, you know, we're talking about billions in the ETF, we should have enough wiggle room to be able to deal with an emergency like that. But we'll see if they spend every dollar each time. I don't know. Jason, does Todd get a nappy for the best guest with the worst, best guest with the worst mic? Yeah, his mic, there have been worse, but yeah, you're... The mic, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people that want to get in the podcasting world, and they come to me and they say, okay, Sean, I want to do this. I see this this control board and this thing and this. I said, spend your money on a microphone and then talk to me. Yeah, got to have good mics out there. B-Dark, what's up, B-Dark? Said, Sean, that's why I moved down here 25 years ago. Birmingham sucks. And then sent me some cool albums. Ozzy. I have to blow this up. I see some Ozzy albums, Black Sabbath albums. You had a nice, the vinyl had a rock and roll weekend with Ozzy. Very cool. And who knows what this week holds, but last week was real tough on celebrity deaths out there. Okay, we're going to get to the Chuck E. Cheese store. Aiden and Citronelle said, and that's why you don't sell alcohol at Chuck E. Cheese. You know, the places that tried not to sell the alcohol, remember they've, and I don't know if showbiz was, if they were wet or dry, but there were other kids' places that popped up, you know, when my kids were young, and they're like, it's the alcohol-free one. And they opened, and then they shut back down. Because parents, listen, you don't need drunk parents, but sometimes a little cold beer to take the edge off the mayhem in a place like that works. But we'll get to the story in a second. Bill, you're right. Bill said, if any political candidate would make a promise to make a war on scams and fraud, I would definitely support him. Yes. They all say it, though, Bill. Remember, I'm even back to Obamacare. They're going to finance a whole bunch of this by cutting out the waste, fraud, and abuse. And I asked back then, shouldn't you do that anyway? Even if you're not trying to fund something? It's like the gambling discussion in the state. Like, well, we need to, and once again, I'm pro the right of referendum. I just haven't seen a deal yet through the legislature that's anything but a gambling utility in picking winners and losers. If there was a free market version of it, you know, I'm not a gambler, but I support people's right to vote on it. But I don't support your right to vote on the deals they pushed through so far in Montgomery. I mean, they're just, they're no good. But the argument last year, remember, was, hey, we got to pass this so we have the money to go after the people that are breaking the law in gambling. What? No. If the law is the law, then go enforce the law right now. One thing should not be tied to the other one. If something's illegal, you go after it. On the other side, if you want to talk about gambling legislation for the state, you do that, but you don't say, oh, well, we got to get this done so we can get rid of the people that are doing it illegally. No, you go after the illegal people right now. Let's see. This is Billy says, I agree with you 100%. If the percent can be identified, then you certainly would think it would lead them in the direction of those committing fraud. Typical government, it sounds like, lazy and not willing to put in the effort. And like you said, because they're not spending their own money. That's right. I mean, maybe I'm missing something big here and somebody can help me from the actuarial world. But if you could tell me the state of Alabama can identify there's 10 to 11% fraud and this federal push says it has to get below 6. If you can identify the percentage, how did you get the data? If you did, then you know the people doing it, right? David, what is the recently announced to be determined terminal at NOLA International Airport and terminal expansion plans at Gulf Shores and Pensacola mean for growth opportunities at the new terminal, Mobile International? I don't know. I asked that question. Remember, I asked that question a few weeks ago. We had Luckett Robinson on. He said they didn't seem to. I didn't ask about New Orleans, but I was asking about Gulf Shores expansion. He seemed to not think it was the same market. So let's see. Okay, so let's go to the place where a kid can be a kid. It's very close here to the radio station. I went a few times as a child. That thing's been there. I think I was going, and I'm 53, and I think I went there as maybe a preteen or teenager to a birthday party. It's been, Charles E. Cheese has got to be pushing 75 years old. Been doing it a long time. He's probably exhausted. But this weekend is a little different. So the story from WKRG, you heard Devin update it in the news. A birthday party goes wild. Well, that sounds good at first, until you hear this. As an altercation breaks out at Chuck E. Cheese on Saturday afternoon, Mobile police responded to Downtowner Loop West for a, quote, multiple assaulted, end quote, call around 2 p.m. One witness alleged literally a man hit a woman and kids. There's a little girl in there right now who got hit in the face, end quote. The girl told News 5 she was just walking by when she got caught in the chaos. They punched me in the eye right there, she said. They started fighting as I was walking by, and they punched me on accident. I don't know if it was on purpose or on accident, end quote. Here you go. Witnesses say it wasn't a small fight. No, y'all. Alleging around 20 people involved in the fight. One person told News 5 it all started because someone got frustrated. First of all, I go to the fact that 20 people, I don't know how many were adults here, but 20 decided, yeah, we're up here in the kids' birthday party zone watching the animatronic stupid show. We got to start throwing hands in here. Thank God it was hands and not weapons. I mean, I'll say the only silver lining is people chose to use their hands. But give me a break. So the quote here, they said, someone got frustrated. They said it started when somebody got frustrated. A quote from a witness said, he got upset about something. It was like a teenage boy, end quote. So I don't know if that means it was a teenage boy or if they were acting like a teenage boy. But I want to play this song here. This is one of the, if you go on YouTube, it's not just the main see the library of Chuck E. Cheese you might remember from back in the day. There's I mean, volumes. There's a whole library. And this song right here, I'm going to play a little clip as a way to try to help heal our community. This one's called Game On. We're just going to play a few seconds of this, not minutes. Play some seconds of this. It's called Game On. This is from the Chuck E. Cheese Songs Library. Let's hear what they have to say. These are like animatronic seagulls or something that are singing here. Here we go. Let's hit it. We can all be winners at the way we play. Okay.
We can win, we can lose, but what's always the same?
Okay, we can win, we can lose, but at no point, I mean, we'll go a few more seconds in, but I don't think they said we can win, we can lose, and then we'll throw hands.
You're a good gamer when you say good game.
Okay, so that is the song coming from the Chuck E. Cheese people. You win or lose, like at skee ball, you know, if you didn't win skee ball, you don't take the skee ball and throw a heater, you know, at somebody's head with the skee ball. And you don't fight at them. So Chuck E. Cheese, this idea, I guess I'm stuck in old thinking that there should be places where you don't fear West Side Story breaking out. By the way, T-Bone said he just punched himself in the ear. That was my audio punch to you in the ear. It's from the Chuck E. Cheese Library of Songs. Josh said, I went to the Cheese a couple years ago. They did away with animatronics. Okay, that shows you. So no more animatronics. Maybe that's what the people were frustrated about that led to the fight. I know I was disappointed when I saw they did away with the show. So, Josh, they don't have the, he comes out and sings a song and has like the band with the gorilla and everything behind him. Well, there you go. Maybe you're onto something. Maybe that's the problem. Supermom said, showbiz serve alcohol too. Okay, thank you. Said showbiz was Chuck E. Cheese's predecessor. No. Okay, same building. Maybe that's why I think it's been there forever. So can you imagine being a child in the middle of a real life melee? Yeah, other than some family reunions we've had, I can't. People are saying, well, they serve alcohol. The alcohol thing, listen, they tried these places. I remember this because, I mean, my kids were young. There was one or two in town that started. They're like, hey, we're the same kind of fun kids' zone thing, but we're not going to serve any booze. And then, like, the next year or whatever, when it was time to think about birthday parties again, you drive by and the place was shut down. It's probably now a vape shop, a plasma center, or a combination thereof, which is a business idea I've pushed out for, you know, combo vape shop, plasma center, so you could donate plasma right here, get your money and go get your vape over there. You know, because that's what we have, right? Whenever you see a new construction going in, unless it's a gas station, like, that's probably going to be plasma or vape. John said, have weed instead. Well, there you go. And I ask, are there any pictures or video of the fight? I don't know. I'm sure somewhere on Facebook. So, there probably are. Leanna would know. We'll ask her during the break and come right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Monday. Leanna said she could not find any pictures or video from the Chuck E. Cheese, main event there at Chuck E. Cheese, the uncaged match or whatever went on there. I would say that maybe somebody would stumble upon it if there's anything. Did they have crime scene tape out front of, that's got to be bad for business. I don't know if they did, but you know, like the yellow tape outside, like, can't come in here. There's a police tape here. Jason said, Sean, wasn't showbiz at Regency where Harbor Freight is? I don't know. I don't remember where. I just remember it was another, you know. But somebody saying that, I think Supermom said that it was actually in the same place as Chuck E. Cheese. It was there just before Chuck E. Cheese. Now, I go to Harbor Freight. I just don't get this. Maybe I'll ask those. Somebody working at the counter at Harbor Freight, when they're asking me my phone number. So, yeah, by the way, was Showbiz still here? This is from C.B. Carl. Hey, C.B. Carl. Speaking of animatronics, I wonder if Disney still has Country Bear Jamboree. Believe it or not, I have their album also. You know, that's a classic. The Country Bear Jamboree. I do not have that. I have some vinyl in a box there in the house, some classic albums, but I do not have the Country Bear Jamboree. Supermom says, Google Chuck E. Cheese fights. Apparently, it happens way more than you would think. Well, you're saying this isn't a one-off? Wow. Okay. So Chuck E. Cheese fights are a thing out there. I guess it's anywhere that human beings, I mean, the malls have fights. It's like anywhere that you congregate, then people are going to like act like animals. All right. Speaking of this, people acting, and we'll get to this after the news. I've been wanting to do, honestly, I have been wanting to do this for a month or two, and that was take you back to the hottest news story last year, cooking hot, flaming hot story that has really gotten off the radar, but back on now. I've been wanting to talk about Haiti and see what old Cookout or whatever his name, Barbecue, what he's doing. Well, we'll have reason to talk about this when we come back, because federal officials have now put out a level 4 do not travel warning to Haiti. A level 4. Can somebody find out what is like Syria right now? What level is it? So Haiti, where you always think, hey, they're going to get it fixed. It sounds like they haven't. So we'll get to that. Also coming up next hour, it's back. I don't know why we keep doing this here, Trump administration. The fact that we're doing these cuts that we just talked about to try to, I would believe, maybe I'm naive, possibly, to try to reduce the federal debt, right? And even, that story about what we're paying in debt service, that's the thing that, if you just Google that, we can talk about it next hour. Not just the debt we've accrued in our republic, but the interest on it. You detect I have a personal problem with that. Just the billions of taxpayer dollars, they're going to finance the overspending of the past. And then it comes out, now they're back to talking about, Trump administration talking about the tariff rebate checks. Remember last time this came up and I said, this is just the, and there were some of y'all that thought it was a great thing. I'm not one of them. If we are going to this tariff deal, which, and we'll talk about that, a big deal struck with the EU for Trump, which good deal making, all that stuff's good. So you know what? Do the deal and use the money to pay down the dang debt. Once again, it comes, and this is the thing with populism. This is why I'm, like I say, 80%, 75 to 80% of the time, I'm cheering. I think Trump does good things, but I am not a populist. I'm a fiscal conservative with some limitations. This idea that, well, we made this good deal, now we're going to give the Americans their money back. Well, the problem is, y'all, if we can, we've done that forever, and look where it's gotten us. If we got new money coming into the Treasury and we're cutting the cost of government, I thought, until the big, beautiful bill seems to raise the cost of government, pay down the debt. But yeah, they're floating the idea. You could get a check. And most people are going to say, well, then don't take your check. Now, if everybody's getting a check, but I got an idea. How about none of us get a check? How about none of us get a check? And that goes towards the debt. So we'll get to that when we come up. When we come back after the news. Plus, this story has been talked about a few times on the show, on the station today. What Steve Marshall's talking about is something that Matt Simpson brought up in legislation last year. When the below dirt bag, dirt bag's not even, I don't know what word to use for these people up in Bibb County. But should capital punishment come into effect, even though there was nobody was murdered? We'll get your take on that and a whole lot more. We come back, hour number two, plus we'll talk to Josh Brown. He's running for mayor of Bay Minette. He joins us at 1:30.
I'm Jeff Davis with Just a Thought.